In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you have ever been to Montgomery, Alabama, you may have visited the Civil Rights Memorial Center. It's a really wonderful institution, and it's a must-see if you ever get that far south. Outside the center is the Civil Rights Memorial itself. And the center and the memorial are located just across the road from the Southern Poverty Law Center, a major civil rights organization, and just around the corner from the Dexter Avenue King Memorial Baptist Church. It's a fitting location for the memorial, as Montgomery, Alabama was so closely linked with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s early ministry and the civil rights movement. The Dexter Avenue Baptist Church was under Dr. King's leadership from 1954 to 1960, and he directed, amongst other things, the Montgomery bus boycotts from there in 1956. The Civil Rights Memorial itself was designed by Maya Lin, the designer of the poignant Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. And the memorial in Montgomery consists of a large black slab of granite, round in nature, which has been set so perfectly that the top is perfectly level. Etched into this top are the names of the martyrs of the civil rights movement and the key moments in history of the civil rights struggles. Out of a small hole in the center of the block comes water, which flows over all these inscribed names and places as if uniting them into a whole. You can easily reach over and trace your fingers across the inscribed names and be united with them in the ongoing struggle for justice for all. Behind this particular part of the memorial is a black granite wall, and it records, over it water flows as well in endless procession. Inscribed on this wall in large letters are the words from the prophet Amos: until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. spoke these words in his speech that he gave in front of the Lincoln Memorial on August 28, 1963. King's speech that day was about the struggle for recognition and equality for African American men and women, about the long road of justice seeking, and about his dream for a full equality and his hope that his faith in God and everyone's faith in God would eventually lead to the unity of all peoples. The struggle for unity for peoples and the justice for all spans the full arc of human history, from Amos's time through the multiple civil upheavals, through the great civil rights struggles of the 1950s, 60s and 70s, and right up to this very day. The work of justice and peace for all is ongoing through each generation, and it's the core component of our Christian faith. Tomorrow is the annual Day of Remembrance for Dr. King. This day sits between two feast days of the Church, the Confession of St. Peter, which was celebrated last Friday, and the Conversion of St. Paul, which is celebrated this coming Friday. The time between these two important feast days is also the traditional period for the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. And it's fitting that these two significant commemorations of Dr. King's life and Christian unity sit between the commemorations of these two great pillars of the Christian Church. For all of us this week, we should be a time of deep reflection and prayer for justice, peace, and unity amongst all people. It should also be a period of contemplation for the rich blessing of the diversity of peoples across the world. The world would be a terribly dull place if we all came from the same heritage. Each year, the focus of this week of Christian prayer changes from country to country and is a truly worldwide action. And this year, the Christian Church in Indonesia set the scripture texts and the prayers for the week. Indonesia is the largest Muslim country in the world. It has 265 million people scattered across 1,700 islands. The population is 86% Muslim and about 10% Christian, all from different traditions. And the Republic of Indonesia was founded on 5 equity-based principles, and their motto is unity in diversity. The key text that they chose for this week of prayer is a passage from Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 11 through 20. In this pericope, the Israelites are rejoicing before the Lord. Everyone in community is celebrating the release from slavery in Egypt. God had called them to celebrate 3 times a year and to give generously out of the blessings that the Lord had bestowed upon them. Verse 20, the last in the set text, is the theme verse for the week. Justice, only justice shall you pursue, so that you may live and occupy the land that the Lord your God is giving you. God implores them not to distort justice, not to show partiality, and not to accept bribes. Justice is the aim of a righteous life in unity with our Lord and with each other. God had blessed them with freedom and new lands. However, God's gift came with a responsibility to act justly. This octave of prayer this week opened last Friday with the prophet Amos's words from chapter 5, verse 24. Those words that are inscribed on the back of the Civil Rights Memorial. Let justice roll down like waters. This familiar passage sets the tone for the week, and rightly so, because our world is experiencing a significant rise in disunity and injustice. Wouldn't it be great if the leadership of this country took this week of prayer to heart and sought to reduce injustice in this country and in the world? Our leaders are abrogating the responsibility to lead by example and to hold world leaders and others accountable for unjust actions, such as stirring up division and supporting corruption and imprisoning those that oppose them. The civil rights era in this country was a culmination of decades, indeed centuries, of injustice towards people of colour, immigrants and the poor. The movement led by Dr. King and others sought to shine the bright light of justice on all of the unjust discriminations that were occurring. And the movement was shaped by average men and women who put their lives on the line for the cause. Brave people like Rosa Parks and Emmett Till, William Moore, Medgar Evans, Addie Mae Collins, Denise McNair, Carol Robinson and Cynthia Wesley. The Reverend Bruce Clunder, Jimmy Lee Jackson, the Reverend James Ribb, Viola Liazzo and Jonathan Daniels and many, many others. Their names or their actions are remembered forever and etched into the Civil Rights Memorial. Today we still ache for the injustice in the world and even in this city. We ache for the lives of black men and women unjustly killed by gun violence. We ache for refugees who flee violence and oppression in South and Central America, only to be met by more hostility on our borders. And we ache for the children who have been separated from their families for no reason other than for their parents to be punished. We ache for lesbian, gay, bisexual and trans people, especially the young ones, who are still bullied and ostracised by their peers and by the institutions of society. We ache for women and girls who are discriminated against and abused by men throughout the world, subjected to unequal wages and are more likely to live in poverty. And we now ache for our federal workers who are going without pay because the country's leadership can't agree on border security. And I could go on and on. Our work for justice is never done. We must continue to chip away at unjust practices and be prepared to speak up. Because if we don't speak up, then who will? Our baptism calls us to take Jesus' message of love and justice and hope into the world. And this is a prophetic mission and our prophetic witness. It can, though, be daunting to speak out against injustice and oppression in a world that seems to foster both. If we find we are reluctant to respond to injustice with a prophetic voice, we would join many that have gone before us in feeling apprehensive. Moses and Jeremiah were both reluctant prophets. Elijah too was reluctant, and when the going got tough for him, he fled and he pleaded with God to take away his life. Jonah too was reluctant and fled to Tarshish rather than going to Nineveh, where God had called him to go and serve. Even Jesus seems to have been reluctant in the account of the wedding in Cana. It was our gospel reading for this morning. "My hour has not yet come," he says to Mary. We are never prepared when God calls us to be prophetic. We all have a natural fear, I think, to speaking out against the prevailing culture. Our human tendencies make us much more likely just to go with the flow, to mirror the behaviours of others in community. But for the good of the nation, we need the prophetic voices to rise up above the masses, voices to call attention to those issues where injustice is being promoted. If not us, then who? Martin Luther King Jr. was a prophet for the time, but one who still felt some hesitation about returning to the South with its system of injustice and oppression that he had grown up in. In his book, Striving Toward Freedom, he wrote that after some hesitation and discernment, and despite the disadvantages and the inevitable sacrifices, he and his wife's greatest service could be rendered in the South. And he concluded that we had something of a moral obligation to return. Dr. King's prophetic message must resonate with us this morning. Like many of the prophetic voices of times past, he was silenced in the hope that the movement and the actions he championed would be halted or reversed. And of course, that didn't happen. And his voice continues to be heard loudly today, as does the voices of Jesus and John and Jeremiah and Elijah. Injustice, as we all know, happens around us every day. Our prophetic witness is the antidote that the world needs. And our witness can shine the light of Jesus into these dark places. And we can do what we can to unify our communities and arrest the complacency in the world toward injustice and oppression. So if not us, then who?